Now you may be getting out a little early today. I'm not sure. I did my best to get some together. I've actually taken a verse from a Bible study that I did, I don't know, months ago, years ago, I don't know, here. Some of you might remember if you've been a regular Bible study attendee. It is, we're going to be starting in 2 Samuel chapter 8. It's the story of Mephibosheth. It's a story that's always been one that's touched my heart. And it talks a lot about God. We'll get into that. But let's start here. And it says, the word says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show a kindness that for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, thou art Ziba. And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emmalel in Lodebar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emmalel from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that the Lord the king hath commanded, his servant shall, so shall thy servant do. And as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually from the king's table and was lame in both his feet. Now Mephibosheth, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Mephibosheth didn't do anything to deserve this except be the son of Jonathan. Let's go back to the beginning of what we just read. It says, we'll start again. It says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now, for Jonathan's sake, Jonathan and David, I'm sure most of you know that they were very good friends. They were very close. And let's take a second and go back to 1 Samuel 20. Usually use my phone for this, so pages are hard. And I'm going to start with verse 14. And thou shalt not only, well, yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off my kindness from the house forever. No, nor when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, neither one from the face, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord ever require it at the hand of David's enemies. So Jonathan helped David, they were friends, and Jonathan helped David because David's father wanted to kill Jonathan's father. Because David was going to ascend to the throne, and Saul just was very vexed with him. So Jonathan helped him to escape and helped him with a lot of things, but before they parted each other, Jonathan had David swear and make a promise that there would be a kindness between their families. And so David, in this verse, was seeking to fulfill that oath that he had made, just as God had seeks to fulfill the oath that he made to Adam and Eve, that the serpent's head would be bruised, and to Abraham. He sought to fulfill, and to Isaac and Jacob, these oaths that the whole world will be blessed through the grace of God. But David is going to show that kindness. He's looking for someone to show that kindness to from Saul's family, from Jonathan's family. Verse number 2, now back where we were in 2 Samuel 9. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame in his feet. So I think if you look back, there's a verse. I did not put it down for today. I'm not sure why I didn't, probably haste. that says that he was, Mephibosheth's mother was carrying him away, and he got dropped. I believe this was when Saul was deposed, and David had become king. Usually what happens is everybody is destroyed from the old king's line, so that none of them can rise up and claim the throne. But Mephibosheth, they took him and they hid him, but he was dropped when he was very young, and that's how he became lame. And now because of this, Mephibosheth is now going to be summoned to appear before the king. I can't imagine what might have been going through his head. Let's continue reading. And the king said unto him, this is unto Ziba, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of the of Amiel in Lodabar. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come into unto David, he fell on his face. Now, that would be what you need to do. He needed mercy, he needed grace, he needed kindness. He didn't know that's what he was there for. I'm sure they didn't explain to him why he was going to see King David, so you can only imagine what was going through his head. He fell on his face and said, and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. That's good of David to alleviate his fears rather quickly. Although, being the king, he didn't have to, but I suppose he could have sent someone to say, you know, don't be afraid, we're going. But obviously he didn't, because Mephibosheth was reverent and seemingly fearful. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land that Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Imagine. This man, I'm not sure what kind of life he might have had, but being lame, you don't know. His father was Saul, he was in hiding, I suppose. I don't even know, we can't even really speculate as to what kind of life he might have had. But it does say later on that he had a child. Let's see. Of course, David alleviates his fears immediately, like we said, and then opens with grace. Gives him the whole story and tells him what he's going to do. And he bowed himself, this would be Mephibosheth, and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? That sounds like a man, either very respectful to the king, which he'd have to be, but maybe a man who had a hard life as well. And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore, this is Ziba, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Now that's a lot. That's even more grace. Just sparing him his life was gracious enough, but he was there to do a kindness. David had called him for kindness. And so it got even more after returning his land, his father's, his ancestral land to him. He gave him servants to till the land and to bring in the food, so that, because we know he couldn't have done that with being lame. And then said Ziba unto the king, well, what else could he say? He's the king, right? According to all that my Lord, the Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. So not only just land returned, not only servants so that he can have food, but he's going to eat at the king's table, and now even more as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame in both his legs. That's just an amazing story about kindness, and it really is an amazing story about grace, and it says a lot about God. Because God made a promise to man, and even though we were unworthy and there was nothing we could do to earn it, we were lame in both our legs and sinful. We got so much more than we deserve. And even we've been invited to eat at his table as his children. That's amazing. God's grace is his unmerited favor. Let's turn to John. I don't think we'll be going back to this. We're gonna continue on for a little bit, talking about a little bit about grace. Let's turn to John 1 John 16 and 17. This is familiar scripture. It's John. Did I say 1 John? No, John 1. Sorry. And I'm in trouble again. Can't keep my gospel straight. Here we go. And of his fullness, verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Under the law, we know that David probably could have had him killed. Because he was the king, he could do what he wanted. He had, well, we won't talk about Uriah, but he was a kid. But he called him to show the kindness of God, he said, and the kindness of his promise to his father, Jonathan. But the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Let's see. Grace upon grace. That's an amazing statement. That would be. Here's your life. Here's your father's land. And then upon that, here's some servants. And then upon that, you can eat at my table. And then upon that, as my son. So that's what we receive from God. Grace upon grace. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. How are we saved? Let's see. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now of work, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I almost went into the Keith Green song rather than the King James version. So we are saved by grace, and that grace is by believing in Christ, believing Christ Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead, just having faith in Him. That's how that grace comes. Who is that grace for? Let's go to Titus 2. Got a song going through my head. First Timothy, Second Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. Anyways, trying to find my way here. I should know them, but I know them through music. I guess that's how we learn sometimes. So Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now let me see, what did it say over here? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? To all men. Now we have to make a choice though. Do we receive that grace? Do we believe that Jesus is the bringer of that grace? Or do we reject it? But when we accept that grace, what does that make us? Let's go over to Titus, next chapter, 3. Titus 3:11. And that says, did I get that right? Wait. Okay, 3 is 7. I wrote Titus 3, 11 through 7. It's supposed to be 7 through 11. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings of the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth being condemned of himself. Okay, I think I just wanted, let's go up to 5. I got a mess up there where I wrote down the wrong scripture. Let's start with 5 and move to 7. Same chapter, Titus chapter 3. Now by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to the mercy, according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what we become. We become heirs according to the hope of eternal life, his sons. And let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. What does being an heir mean? It means we're sons. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that man that came down and showed us grace upon grace, that is cast into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He felt everything that we felt. He experienced everything that we experienced. And he knows what we're going through. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, here's what we do, let's therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So boldly before his throne, because we are his children, because he loves us, because he has saved us. He's not going to save us. He has saved us. We are saved. We are bought with a price. And he's already paid. And I think we're coming to the end. I think we're a little early, but it's okay. We're going to finish, I think, in Psalms 31, 32. Psalms 32, 1 and 2. Something David wrote. This is our we are blessed. David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." David surely knew that because he had transgressions forgiven. Whose sin is covered, and that's what Jesus did with his blood. It's covered our sin. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Why are we clean? Why are we pure? Why do we dare say that we even come close to being holy? Because Jesus is holy, and it's him that God sees when he looks at us. Because he is our salvation. After I finished up, I was looking through my memories on Facebook. And I found a little meme that I posted, I don't know how many years ago. And it says this, it says, religion, this is what religion means. Religion says, I messed up. My dad's going to kill me. But the gospel, which is grace, says, I messed up. I need to call my dad. So, the Lord's grace is what we live by. And I think it's kind of neat that I was looking at the song list, which I have right here, and that the song that was chosen for the last song, which we're going to be doing in a minute, we can open to song 202, Amazing Grace.